Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. My next guest with us by phone, Dan Small. He is the host and producer of the public television show Outdoor Wisconsin, and he also hosts Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, also a contributing editor with Wisconsin Outdoor News. And his annual Deer Hunt Wisconsin show is debuting this week. I've had a chance to see it. It's a great, show. We'll talk to him about the show, the topics that are important to hunters, and certainly interested in what you have to say. What questions do you have to Dan about hunting? Are you planning to go out this year? You can join in the conversation. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Dan Small, welcome. Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Larry, always a pleasure to talk with you and your listeners.
So you've been doing your Deer Hunt Wisconsin special almost as long as Outdoor Wisconsin, I think. When it comes to deer hunting, what are some of the biggest changes you've seen over the years?
Gosh, we started this show in 1991 when there were some new regulations regarding antlerless deer tags, and there was no internet, and DNR said, we've got to get the word out, and that was the most watched TV show on Milwaukee PBS for the whole month of November that year back in 1991. And at that time, there were changes in deer hunting practices, and as you and I, we've been out in the woods a long time, yep. The two of us, we've seen a lot of changes, and I guess the biggest change is really the topic you and Tom and Mike were talking about in the first half of the show, is the advent of CWD and how that has impacted the deer herd. And I won't go into that in detail because they covered it quite well, I thought. So that's one issue. What I've seen is deer hunters are less mobile than they used to be. Now, I've hunted up north for many, many years. My son and I are actually hunting in Bayfield County again this gun deer season. And even up there on private land, you see permanent box blinds. You see them all over the state. When I drive around, I can look in almost any big hay field that has a woods edge and maybe two woods edges that come together. Yeah. In the corner, invariably, there's a box blind. It allows hunters to sit longer, to be more comfortable, but it keeps them from walking around and moving deer to other hunters. And it's become... It's kind of the way we hunt deer now. Very few people stalk them anymore. Very few people still hunt. And gosh, I don't know many groups that conduct drives anymore. So those are a couple of the big changes that I've seen.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think the deer camps are
yep.
still there.
There are a number of folks who still have deer camps, and for the uninitiated, a deer camp has traditionally been a private cabin or a farmhouse or sometimes a wall tent with a wood stove in it that is occupied for at least the first weekend and maybe the whole 9 days of the gun deer season. It's been a tradition for probably 100 years or more. And some folks still have deer camps, get together with family and friends for at least the first few days of the season, if not the entire season. I have friends who go up to hunt the Flambeau State Forest, and they spend all 9 days. And Brad and Mike, you guys, and Pete, you guys know who I'm talking about. Good luck this year. They won't always bring a deer home, but to them, the experience of being there for a week, being isolated from the rest of the world, cooking their own meals and spending the day in the cold and then coming into the cabin and sharing stories, that's an important part of the deer season.
Yeah, it definitely is, and I've got a group of guys that I've hunted with forever, it seems mm-hmm. like, and a good part of the whole reason for going and being involved in something like that is that for some of those people, you'd only see them once or twice a year, and it's just good to catch back up with people.
Yep, absolutely. And that's what my son and I do. We get to, he lives in New York City now, and we get together for deer season and turkey season, and rarely in between. So, you know, we look forward to these visits.
Greg in Forest County has a question, I believe. Greg, hello. Thank you for calling.
Hello. I have a question for Dan. He said he's hunted in the northern part of the state. Do you think it's possible for the state of Wisconsin to start trophy management zones in areas of larger public lands, kind of like they do out west, like in Colorado, Montana, where they can get a chunk of land and use that, like put a size regulation on the deer, maybe only have one buck, gun or bull, and then build the get your numbers back, kind of 1-to-1 or 1-to-2 with bucks and does.
Wow. I don't know that we'd ever get back to 1-to-1 or 1-to-2, and I think you'd run into a lot of opposition from northern hunters or hunters who go up there who simply want to shoot a buck or shoot any deer and don't care what size it is. Other states, Pennsylvania and New York come to mind, have some antler restrictions in some areas, and there's always a fight when you try to do that. It's like, you know, trying to limit the crossbow season. We ran into that here. I'm not saying it couldn't be done. I'm not really keen on it myself. You know, if you want to shoot a trophy buck, spend the time and learn their behavior patterns, and you know, maybe you'll get lucky. But you know, if you let one go, in my experience, if you let that trophy that trophy buck go as a 3-year-old, you're going to hear a shot when he crosses the fence, and you know, it's just hard to contain them and control that, I think.
Yeah, there you go, Greg. Thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Yeah, I guess I agree with that. And then just thinking back to CWD, if you get a buck, the older they are, the more likely they are in some areas of the state, at least, to have that problem, the CWD problem, and passing it on to other deer.
Yep, and in fact, we addressed that in the very first segment of this year's show, where we talked with Doug Duren. His name might be familiar to listeners. He is a landowner who grew up in Cazenovia in Richland County, and we asked him that question you asked me to start with. Yeah. How has deer hunting changed? And he said that the CWD changed everything. He used to manage in a kind of a loose QDM style, quality deer management style, where he refers to wearing the sombrero. He's got a big Mexican sombrero in the farmhouse. And if you shot a buck with antlers inside the ears back in, you know, only a few years ago, you got to wear that sombrero for the rest of the season. And I've hunted that place 4 or 5 times. I've never shot a deer there because the first couple of years I let little fawns walk. I wasn't sure what they were, and I'll be darned if I was going to wear that sombrero. And he said since CWD has come to Richland County, it's not as bad as Sauk, but it's still pretty bad there. He had his first positive the last year or the year before, I think. They now say shoot, fill your buck tag. Just make sure you got an ethical shot and take some of those antlerless deer as well.
So there we go. Our guest today, Dan Small, host and producer of the public TV show Outdoor Wisconsin. His 29 Deer Hunt Wisconsin video is going to be playing this week. We're talking with him about it. Certainly looking forward to hearing your own questions or comments or maybe concerns. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. And we'll be taking a little break for a minute here, Dan, but you've got a little different theme this year.
Yeah, well, we're focusing on the tradition of deer hunting with Doug and how it's changed, and also on mentoring. We've got Terry Rarig, who is a woman who is a very active hunter, and she's on the Buffalo County Deer Advisory Council and also on the Wisconsin Conservation Congress. She's talking about mentoring, and we're going to get into some detail on how folks can have their deer tested for CWD and dispose of their carcasses in a proper way.
And so we'll get into more depth with Dan Small about the video and about some of the things he just brought up. Again, you can join in at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll take a quick look at the news, the weather. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with Dan Small. You stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller. Well, the 29th edition of the award-winning TV special Deer Hunt Wisconsin starts to air this week. Talking today with Dan Small, host of the show, about this year's hunt. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Dan, on the phone with us, he's been the host and producer of Public TV's Outdoor Wisconsin since its premiere. He also hosts and produced a weekly radio show called Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, and of course the annual Deer Hunt Wisconsin specials. So as we visit with him, has the way you hunt changed over the years? What questions do you have about the new rules and regulations? What do you like to know about your neck of the woods where you hunt? Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. You know, we did talk a lot about CWD with our last guests, but what are your thoughts about what we're doing to combat the disease, Dan?
Well, Larry, I don't think we're doing enough. I agree with Tom and Mike that we need to find a better way to manage it, and I don't have the answers to that. Doug Duren addresses that, and he says all we can do is, trust science and spend money on science and see if we can't find some answers. I think the Adopt a Kiosk program that Doug talks about in the show is a good thing. There are kiosks around the state, especially here in the Southwest, where there are, there's a high prevalence of deer with CWD. Have your deer tested. Taxidermists and some meat processors will take the lymph nodes out of the neck and send them in, and there's no charge to hunters to have that done. As much as we want to shoot big bucks, if you hunt in a CWD prevalent area, you're concerned about eating the venison. Although you had a caller, Jack, who said he's been eating CWD infected deer for almost 20 years. He's a walking experiment. You know, I think we probably all are. We probably all, or many of us, have ingested it over the years. But you can shoot fawns and shoot younger deer and let the big guys walk. I know that's hard to do, but when I'm hunting up north, I'm hunting Bayfield County, where so far it has not been discovered. And we shot two bucks last year. We had them both tested. They both tested negative or not detected. They don't say negative. They just say we didn't find it. And we've got antlerless tags this year. We're going to try to shoot a few more deer, and we'll do the same thing. Have them all tested and keep our fingers crossed.
Yes, we one of the parts of the video in some ways addresses the loss of some deer hunters. We don't have as many deer hunters as we had in the past.
No, we don't. I can remember when we used to report that there were 700,000 people who were going to march out in the woods on the opening morning, and now it's down under 600,000, I think, for the last couple of years. It's still almost 10 Lambeau Fields all at once out in the woods.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people. But well, and Jack, your caller who said he was 68 and he's retired from deer hunting, you and I have got a couple years on him and we're still deer hunting. Yeah. And, you know, I'm planning to keep doing it until I can't anymore, you know.
Talk about the hunting mentors. You mentioned Terry earlier. I thought mm-hmm. that was a really nice part of your video this year.
Yeah, thanks. And she is a great spokesperson and a great role model for hunters in general and for women who are getting into hunting. And in fact, you may know this, listeners may as well, but the fastest growing segment of the hunting population, and I think specifically deer hunting, but maybe all hunting in Wisconsin and nationwide, is girls and women. So we are losing old white men who are getting old and giving it up, but younger women and girls and young boys, of course, have always been recruited into the hunting fold. But women and girls are growing are being added to the population of hunters faster than any other group, and there are programs available for newcomers to get into hunting. There's the mentorship program, which is a DNR program. There's the youth hunt, the gun deer youth hunt happened in October. And that was for anyone, I think, 17 and under. Mentored hunting is available all year, especially during the hunting seasons, for anyone of any age who has not had significant hunting experience. And there are rules, requirements for the mentors and the mentees, as they call them. I believe it's one firearm or one weapon and arm's length from the person, but you don't need to have passed hunter education as a first-time hunter. So those are two options. And then there's the Learn to Hunt program, which again is sanctioned by DNR. There are formal Learn to Hunts that DNR folks and other groups, Pheasants Forever, the Wild Turkey Federation, and others hold these every year. I've participated for last couple of years in Learn to Hunt Turkey programs here in Vernon County. There are a lot of formalized opportunities, some very organized and some just kind of loose, like Uncle Joe wants to take Cousin Billy hunting or Cousin Janie hunting who's never done it. You can do that. And it's replacing to a certain extent the natural mentorship of father, son, uncle, nephew, grandfather, granddaughter that, you know, that you and I grew up with. Yeah. Because in many cases, one of the guests on the in the Midwest Outdoor Heritage Education Expo segment says, a lot of these kids don't have dads, or this mentorship of that 2-day event in May and maybe a hunting mentorship experience, it's their only contact with the outdoors. It's, that has changed a lot.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that Midwest Outdoor Heritage Expo, just watching the kids in that, I thought it was kind of uplifting in a way. Of course, mm-hmm. that one's gone already, but the next year's expo is in May 20th and 21st, I think, isn't it?
Don't quote me. If Mark LaBarbera's listening, he can call in and tell us. It's a Wednesday and Thursday in that third week of May, and you can find out more on his website, which is Outdoor Heritage Education Center, .com or .org. Forgive me, Mark, I can't recall. And it's school kids from across the state are bused to Poinette, which is nicely centrally located. It's the state location of the state game farm, but it's also the McKenzie Environmental Education Center. They have live animals there, wolves and deer and badger, and we saw a couple lynx when we were there. And the kids just have a ball just doing all kinds of hands-on things. They're shooting air rifles. They're shooting bows, the Genesis bows that are used in the National Archery in the Schools program. They're throwing tomahawks. They're feeling what turkey feathers and deer hides and bear skins feel like. They can walk through a trailer, a Touch of the Wild trailer, and touch all these animals. It's a great event.
Yeah, and a nice video package as part of that of your show for sure. Our guest Dan Small, we're talking about 2019 Deer Hunt Wisconsin. Videos playing this week on public television, and certainly looking forward to hearing your questions or comments. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Carl from Elkhorn wondered if you could go over the rules for registering deer.
Okay, well, they are all listed in the Deer Hunting Regulations booklet, which you can pick up when you buy a license or at a lot of license outlets if you've already got your license. They are also online. If you go to dnr.wi.gov and type in the keyword hunt, the regulations will come up, and I'm bringing up my script right here as I look at it just to see exactly where what it is. You must register them by 5 p.m. on the day after harvest. You'll need your harvest authorization number, and that's the number that's on what we used to call the tag, which you don't have to print anymore. A lot of folks just carry them on their phone. I still print them and carry them, because when you register a deer, you can do it by phone or online, they will they generate a number, and they say, this number proves that you've registered the deer. Well, I want to write that on something, so I write that on my tag or my authorization. Then once you've done that, you are free to move about the country, so to speak, with the deer. There are regulations regarding transport of deer into and out of CWD-affected counties. And as Mike said, there are some 56 counties, I think, now statewide that are affected. So I won't try to go into that here. Check the website or the regs for that. And there still are maybe as many as 1,000 walk-in registration stations. They would have that familiar red sign that says deer and bear registration station. You can take your deer in there and use their electronic or phone connection to DNR. But it's all done. It's all done electronically now. And, there's no... You don't have to carry a tag. You don't have to tag the deer. You don't have to take the deer any place to have it logged in as in the past. So that's the new system.
Mike in Madison has something. Mike, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Yeah, a common question, basically. I think that the current rules have made Wisconsin a poacher's paradise. Just out pheasant hunting the past couple weekends, I've seen an astronomical amount of deer left in the parking lots, parts of deer left in the parking lots. I know several people I've talked to said they don't even get a license anymore because they just hunt private land. Also, the rules in the designation of public versus private land has allowed someone like me who hunts public land but occasionally gets invited to hunt public private land. Now, I don't have that option because I have to choose public or private. And then on a lot of the public lands, it's difficult to get to the far back since you can't use any kind of a four-wheeler to drag your deer out. I know last year I'm 50 and I have some physical disabilities, and I almost had a heart attack hauling my deer out, and had a hunter with a disability tag had his RV out there and not been able to help me haul my deer out, I might not be here telling this story. So I think that a lot of these new rule changes have led to the lower number of hunters getting licenses in Wisconsin. I'd like to get your opinion on that.
All right, Mike, thanks for calling. What do you think, Dan?
Well, there's a lot to chew on right there, Mike. As far as, you know, being a haven for poachers, I'll just repeat what Kevin Wallenfang said a number of years ago when we interviewed him about that question of registering, you know, taking a deer in to be physically registered. He said, if you would register a deer when you had to bring it in, if you would be legal at that point, why wouldn't you continue to be legal and register it electronically? I personally have not seen the waste that you're describing. You know, that happens regardless of the way people are required to register deer. I personally like the tags. I never liked the back tags because they rub against the tree, but I liked having that plastic tag to put on a deer. As my friend Tom Boddy, who was a retired DNR biologist, used to say, tags and dead deer don't lie, you know, and when you have the tag and the dead deer together, you know how many were taken. As far as access to, well, let's see, public versus private land, if you're going to be hunting both, you can buy an antlerless tag or authorization for both areas. Now, it does require buying that extra tag, but you can do that. And, of course, your buck tag is valid anywhere. As far as access is concerned, on some public lands, bicycles are allowed. And, in fact, in the segment that's airing on the commercial version of the show, we do two versions of the show, one for public and one for commercial. We have a segment on electric bikes. Quiet Cat is a manufacturer, one manufacturer of electric bikes, and we show a hunt where a guy uses this bike to get in and out of his stand at a great distance from the road, and he's, he actually scouts with it and you know, leaves no scent trail, and they do make a trail, or you can haul a deer out. In fact, next year's show, we'll have a successful hunt with folks who actually used those bikes and got a deer this year, and we recorded it now for next year's airing. So there are, you know, I think Mike's got some valid points there, but there are at least partial answers to some of his concerns.
Yeah, thanks, Mike, again for calling. The whole Timothy had called to ask about a lack of land to hunt, lots of private land that isn't available to hunters. And I know you've talked about how a hunter can address that issue with perhaps private owners in the area where they want to hunt.
Yeah, I think it comes down to establishing relationships with landowners. And, you know, you do that by knocking on doors, not the week before the deer season, but sometime in the summer. And in the old days, we used to say, well, we'll help you put up hay, or we'll help you, you know, put up a fence or repair fence or chase down a stray cow or pig or something. You know, that's probably, you're probably more of a hindrance than a help these days with so much, you know, with bigger farms and automated farming. But, you know, it still helps to get to know private landowners. And as far as public land access is concerned, the state has a public public access land atlas, the PAL, they call it. And if you go to the DNR website and type in maps, you will find an online version. You can buy a book form, book version of this. And there are lots of federal, state, county lands open, and then some lands that are private, but because of the type of forest management plan that they are open to public hunting. So there are opportunities. You just have to look for them.
And I want, before we take any more calls, Dan, I want to make sure we talk about the airing, when your show's aired and so forth.
Yeah. The first airing will be on Milwaukee PBS, and that's Channel 10 in the southeastern part of Wisconsin, tomorrow night at 9 p.m. And it will repeat on that same station Saturday morning at 9. And then PBS Wisconsin, that's a new name for the Wisconsin Public TV network. They are airing the show Saturday morning at 10:30 on the digital Wisconsin channel. So that's the .2 channel. Mm-hmm. And WDSE Duluth and WRPT Hibbing are airing the show Saturday at 4. That's this Saturday, the 16th. And then the commercial version that I mentioned earlier is going to be on Fox Sports Wisconsin and Fox Sports North starting tomorrow night, right after the games that are on. I think there's a Bucks and a hockey game on North. But at 10 p.m. or right after the game, the show will air. And it'll air at least three more times on both of those stations. And there are some 30 Wisconsin community media stations around the state in most of the mid-sized cities and the larger cities as well that will be airing the full version of the show. And there you just have to check local listings. We posted it the other day, and when I looked this morning, there were already 15 downloads. So I know a lot of those stations are going to be airing the show, and I think some 36 of them did it last year. So, lots of ways to watch it. And we have a Deer Hunt Wisconsin YouTube channel. So if you just go to YouTube and type in Deer Hunt Wisconsin 2019, you will see a promo for the show. And my webmaster, Les Booth, is uploading individual segments as we speak, and those should go live this afternoon. I mean, the technology just blows me away here, but that's we're putting it out there. It should be available for folks, ways to find it. And on my Facebook page, on the Deer Hunt Wisconsin Facebook page, there's a complete schedule if you couldn't write down all those times and dates.
Well, I had a chance to view it sort of ahead of time, ahead of this show at least, and it's another great show. They got to be a lot of fun to put together.
They are a lot of work, but we've got a team. Mark LaBarbera and I kind of brainstormed the thing, and Dave Roll, who used to shoot and edit Dave Carlson's show years ago, he's our videographer and our editor. And he shot most of the deer footage. There's a lot of live deer footage on there. And a lot of that's with trail camera, as you might imagine. And trail cam video is amazing these days. It's as good as, the big TV camera stuff.
Well, I know the forecast is in there, and for all the different regions of the state, there's the new regulations, some discussion about what may be new. Dan, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry.
Dan Small is the producer, host and producer of 2019 Deer Hunt Wisconsin. Take a look. It's a really good show. Chad Spate's back tomorrow to talk about getting your home ready for winter. In the meantime, hey, stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.